Well, it was hard to imagine, but it's true. It was this month, 10 years ago, we introduced you, and for that matter ourselves, to a young doctor named Dr. Mona Hanna Atisha. She came on board and was the first to be really sounding the real alarm about the problem with Flint water, the lead, and all of the issues that could lead to in children's health. And it started with Dr. Mona, as we ended up calling her, now Associate Dean for Public Health and C.S. Mott Endowed Professor of Public Health at Michigan State University College of Human Medicine, a pediatrician who helped discover the issue with Flint's drinking water. Since then, there's been obviously an army of people who are involved in this, and something called the Flint Registry. It's a long-term public health project that connects people to services and programs to promote health and wellness and to understand the impact of the Flint water crisis. The community voices expressed through the Flint Registry have led to policy and regulatory changes across Michigan and, for that matter, across the United States, because we soon found there were problems with lead in the pipes and in the water all across this great country of ours, not just in Flint. And Flint is showing the world a model for community-driven public health, and the work is shaping the landscape for future programs, resources, opportunities to ensure a better future for Flint and beyond. And I have two doctors very much a part of that. As we welcome to Focus with Paul W. Smith, Dr. Nicole Jones, epidemiologist, faculty member of the College of Human Medicine's Charles Stewart Mott Department of Public Health, Michigan State University, co-principal investigator for the Flint Registry. Dr. Jones, welcome.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon. Glad to talk to you today.
Well, we're glad to have you with us. And we welcome Dr. Kenyatta Dotson, the Director of Community-Based Implementation and Engagement for Michigan State University College of Human Medicine, Charles Stewart Mott Department of Public Health, co-chair of the Community Advisory Board for the Flint Registry. Dr. Dotson, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having both of us. We're happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you here to shed a little light on what is impossible to think, but truly was 10 years ago. How far have we come, Dr. Jones, in making sure something like this can never happen again?
That's a great question. We often say the Flint water crisis was not the first, it was not the worst, and we don't think it will be the last water crisis that we have. But it is because of the advocacy and the action of the citizens of Flint and the community advocates that we've seen changes. So we have seen in the state of Michigan things like a change in the lead and copper rule. We have one of the most proactive lead and copper rules across the United States. We've lowered the action level with regards to lead in water. We've required cities to do inventory of their pipes and to notify residents who have lead service lines. And also to create a plan to replace lead service lines in the next 20 years. So we've really shifted the conversation towards primary prevention, and it is because of those community voices that continued to today to really talk about the importance of water safety and water quality.
I'll never forget when we had Dr. Mona on over now 10 years ago and hearing what she discovered and was telling us. It was mind-blowing. Since then, Dr. Kenyatta Dotson, we have found that this was a problem. And as Dr. Jones just said, before, during, and after, this has been a problem in these United States. And I suspect you, with the Flint Registry, have affected change across the country in this area, Dr. Dotson.
I would definitely say that we have affected change throughout the country. Flint has been a trailblazer and, you know, in this effort in bringing about change, helping others throughout the country, throughout the state, in knowing how to address this issue. When we first got hit with the water crisis, nobody knew what to do, how to address it, what solutions we could come up with, but community had to come together. We all began to work together, the Flint Registry, MSU being a partner in all of that, always working alongside Flint residents, Flint citizens, and allowing them to know how valuable they are to this whole process. So, yes, I definitely think there has been a significant amount of changes, and Flint has been a great partner across the nation.
I must, a duty means I should respond to another story that's going underway because everyone's wondering. We are just told that Jennifer and James Crumbly have been sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison. So they're on the edge, I think, Mike Parsons. That would put them right at the maximum that was expected. There were some that thought the judge might even go over the maximum, but they're at the maximum, are they not, 10 to 15 years?
Yeah, 10 to 15, 858 days served. But, yeah, 10 to 15 is the maximum that they could be sentenced.
All right. And so, you know, the screwy thing about the way we do things in Michigan and probably other states is they will be eligible for parole. I thought that Todd Flood said like in 53 months or something like that. I'm not exactly sure. But they will be eligible for parole. We'll see how that all works out. But
yeah, Marie will have a lot of, on this at about 1:15.
All right. We'll look forward to the further details. But at this moment, the Crumbly parents sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison. Dr. Kenyatta Dotson, Dr. Nicole Jones, a busy day, one we didn't expect to be so busy. Quick question for Dr. Jones. We were all worried about the kids 10 years ago. 10 years later, what has been the results of all the testing of those kids? Are they okay, or are they having troubles? They're going to have the troubles the rest of their lives. And you can bring the music down for a second, Danielle.
Doctor. So as you know, exposure to lead is a lifelong concern, especially for kids, as young kids, as their brains are still developing, and lead is a neurotoxin. So one of our goals is to look at how kids are doing, and we have published some data that shows that we do have concerns about our kids. So we're concerned about their mental health, the way the number of kids that are being diagnosed with things like depression and anxiety. We're also concerned about their behavioral health as far as their communication skills, attention skills. But what we try to do here at the registry is really make sure that those kids get connected to services and programs to mitigate the impact of any exposure that they had. So yes, we're concerned about their health. This is a long-term process. It's a long-term health implication. And our work is long-term.
We will check back with you from time to time, knowing that this exists, the Flint Registry, Dr. Nicole Jones and Dr. Kenyatta Dotson. Thank you both for all the work that you've done and for sharing the information with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
You have a good day as well. 1243 WJR.